You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Good morning and welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast over here at the Locked On NFL Network, your daily bite-sized podcast giving you the best coverage of all things orange and blue related. Very stoked to be back with you guys here once again. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the NFL and the Denver Broncos. I also do some work for the fan-sided networks, predominantlyorange.com. You guys can shoot me a follow on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. We're going to be joined by my co-host Cameron Parker here in just a little bit. You guys can follow him at Cameron Parker PO. Today's episode of the show, we're going to kind of dive through a little bit of the official free agency period. Now, really not a lot of moves. We've already talked about the moves. Juwan James, Kareem Jackson, Joe Flacco, those moves are all now official for the Broncos. We spent a lot of time going in depth about that, but we'll talk a little bit about what that may look like, specifically more in terms with Joe Flacco. The plan for this week, the rest of the week, in terms of introducing them to the media, we're going to have complete media coverage of those press conferences with Kareem Jackson, Joe Flacco, and Juwan James on Friday. We'll keep you posted a little bit more on that. But also on today's episode of the show, we're going to talk about how the AFC West is changing based on these free agency moves. We're going to create some power rankings early on. Now, don't read too much into this, depending on where any team is at. This is just opinion based on moves that have already been made. But it's important to analyze kind of where the perception is regarding the Broncos and the rest of the AFC West right now in the offseason. We'll do another one around the NFL draft time, and then once that happens, once the season comes around, we're going to be doing it every week as the NFL standings change when the regular season games are played. But yes, a lot of action in store for you guys today. But one of the things we want to do before we jump into all that is, look, we wanted to get Broncos Country's reaction to a lot of things, and we also heard from my man Mile High Memories on our Locked On Broncos voicemail. Text call-in line at 970-541-2966. Anytime you guys want to leave your Broncos analysis, your audio, your take, or you want to shoot us a text at that number, do it. We're going to use your responses on air. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to head to our text line first and foremost, because I think it's important that we hear from the text line because there's really no audio to it. We're going to read it off. Eric Blackman texted us at our Lockdown Broncos call online and said, the Kareem Jackson and Juwan James signings are good signings, but there are still a lot of holes to fill before heading into the draft. I am hoping for an off-ball linebacker and a tight end before we are done. More than likely, I think the Broncos could bring in, to be honest with you, I don't know if the Broncos are going to bring in anybody in terms of free agency at inside linebacker, in terms of off-ball. I mean, we could take a look at the Washington Redskins situation. They just released Zach Brown. There could be a possible interest there. I haven't heard anything yet. I'll be sure to look into that, but really nothing has happened for the Broncos since free agency has actually opened up. So a lot of people are becoming impatient with that, but to be honest with you, I think the Broncos made their major signings. They got the quarterback, they got a cornerback, and they also got a right tackle. Those are the major, major moves I think the Broncos needed to address in free agency. Now, I think they can address an off-ball linebacker in this year's NFL draft. There are a lot of options. I don't believe Devin White will be there when the Broncos are available to pick, but Devin Bush is another example of somebody who might be that could provide that same exact element that the team was looking for. The team could go in more dime situations for an off-ball linebacker in certain sets. I mean, they have the luxury, they have the depth at safety to play a dime linebacker position like Will Parks or Demonte Thomas or even Sua Cravens if he can make the roster, even Jamal Carter. I mean, they have a lot of in-house options. So I would be very surprised if they really kind of make a big splash for an off-ball linebacker when they do have candidates inside the organization that can probably do that job just as well and have the NFL experience already. And in regards to tight end, like I said, I'm still a big believer in the fact that I think the Broncos will offer Jeff Heuerman a one-year deal to return a prove-it deal because, look, his entire career in Denver, he has been unhealthy. He's been injured. He's got to prove that if the Broncos are willing to spend money on him, he's got to make it through a full 16-game season. He absolutely has to, and you know, it's unfortunate because you can never predict injuries in the NFL, but at the same regard, from a financial management standpoint, a sports management standpoint, if I'm the general manager, I'm looking at a potential player that I have, a ton of potential, a ton of talent, played really well in a few games for the Broncos this season. But if I'm the general manager, I'm looking at Jeff Heuerman. I like his upside. I like what he potentially could bring to the table if he could stay fully healthy. But that health concern is my biggest question that I have heading into 2019. Do I want to risk paying a guy a contract extension of 3 to 4 years when we haven't gotten health out of him or a lot of on-field reps because of injury status? That's the biggest question. The Broncos also can't afford to make that mistake with Jake Butt, who's coming off another ACL injury. Troy Fumagalli coming off of a hernia surgery that held him out all of 2018, his entire rookie year. I think the Broncos are going to remain with some of their in-house options. I do think they add maybe a tight end in this year's draft after round one. I think they're going to add another cornerback. I think they're going to add a tight end. I think they're going to add a variety of different options after round one for some of these other areas. As Eric Blackman is mentioning here, there are still some holes that this Broncos team has to fill. I think they can fill those holes in NFL free agency. So let's head on to our Locked On Broncos voicemail line. We're going to hear from my man, Mile High Memories. He's going to talk about his perception on the free agent signings, Kareem Jackson, Juwan James, what it means to the Broncos through Broncos country's eyes right here. Mile High Memories gives you the scoop.
Hey, Cody, this is Mile High Memories. I think our two free agency signings are pretty awesome. I think it's wonderful to shore up both of those positions. And I think what that does is it really gives us the ability in the draft to take the best player available and not have to take someone at either the offensive line or the defensive back position. If that does happen to be the person that's available in the draft, that's awesome. That gives us even more depth. But I think both of those players are solid players, and I think they really give us the ability to kind of maneuver in the draft in a way that we wouldn't have had we not picked those guys up in free agency. I'm a little worried about their contracts. I think they're a little large, but if they play up to their ability, I think it'll be for the best.
Thanks for that, Mile High Memories. Appreciate you, man, as always, being part of the interaction and discussion. I agree with you. I think these are very good signings for the terms that they fulfill a need that the Broncos have needed to address for quite some time. You know, with the moment the Broncos traded to keep Tlaib, I still had a lot of questions in terms of cornerback depth. Now, with Kareem Jackson, he does have the ability to play in the nickel. He does have the ability to play outside. He does have the ability to play safety. He's going to be used in a variety of ways, but he was primarily brought in to be a cornerback. I'm excited for the move. And one thing about these two free agent signings here, I like the fact that John Elway and Vic Fangio seem to be on the same page. And they met with DenverBroncos.com, Phil Milani, Eric DeLalla, and they said something along the lines of, John Elway said, since Vic's been here, he's been tremendous. Vic said, we got guys that we all liked. I remember when we watched Kareem Jackson, I walked in and told John we really liked him. And he said, good. We do too. So they have to be on the same page. I mean, your general manager, your head coach, they have to be on the same page. And when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, where Coach Fangio's expertise is stellar in, you want to have kind of the same consensus in terms of the players that will be on that side of the ball. As long as those two are on the same page, I think Broncos country will be in for a treat. You know, I think a lot of Broncos fans were very frustrated at the very beginning because they didn't make these huge splash moves that we saw other teams making right away. And look, in the NFL, you don't have to make those big splash moves to make a difference. How many times do we see NFL general managers sign a player to a huge deal for some team? The expectations on paper are stellar, out of the roof, phenomenal, excited. I mean, it has a lot of people excited, and it turns out to be a complete dud. I would have to say that is exactly what happened with the Jaguars last season. They went to the AFC Championship 2 years ago, and then they had a really talented roster offensively, defensively, heading into last season, and they just couldn't get anything done. Really, the on-field product is what matters, and what goes into that is collaboration with your front office and your coaching staff, because the coaching staff is going to be the ones that are working closely every single day with those players. The evaluation staff, the front office, they're going to be doing a lot of analysis in terms of what can the player bring in terms of a perfect fit to our team, our scheme, our culture, and whatever you want to, you know, include in that, because all those things are super important when you're making up an NFL franchise. So coming up here in segment number two, Cameron and I, we're going to talk about the state of the AFC West. We're going to go through our AFC West power rankings. We're going to explain why some of the moves that some of the teams in the AFC West had made, how does that impact the Broncos? We talk about that coming up in just a moment. But I got to remind you guys tonight, big matchup at the Can at the Pepsi Center. Hopefully the weather has cleared up for you guys in some parts, but the Dallas Mavericks are coming to town to take on the Denver Nuggets. And it's going to be on TNT. It's going to be 8:30 Mountain Time tip-off, so don't miss all the action. And check out the recap with Adam Mattes, host of the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Now, the Broncos play in a very tough division in the AFC West, and based on some of the offseason moves, I thought it would be important for us to break down some of the signings as of March 14th around the division. Now, one thing that we haven't talked about yet is this was recorded the night before, so March 13th in the evening, it was reported that the Chiefs and Ronald Darby would be meeting this previous evening. So as of right now, if that move became official, I don't currently know that. So something to keep an eye on there. But we're going to take a look at some of the transactions that some of the teams in the AFC West have made. And based on those moves so far, we're going to grade where they're at right now in terms of the league standings, in terms of the AFC West, and who had a good start to the offseason and who's had a bad start to the offseason. That is going to be an important angle. And then we're also going to be having our Locked On AFC West Summit episode happening at some point here soon. Details to be announced, where we're going to get Locked On Chiefs, Locked On Broncos, Locked On Chargers, and Locked On Raiders on one podcast to talk about the offseason moves for their respective teams. It's going to be a huge series here for the Locked On NFL Network. So let's start off first and foremost with the Denver Broncos, because they're first off in the board. That's the show that we do here, Locked On Broncos. The biggest move, it all became official on Wednesday, was Joe Flacco. The trade from the Ravens became official. He's now officially the starting quarterback for the Broncos. John Elway, Coach Fangio, had a lot of praise for him. You know, he's going to be 34 years old, but I thought it was really classy, Cameron, how the Baltimore Ravens dedicated time to put out a video for him honoring his time as a Raven and the things that he's accomplished, Super Bowl MVP. We all know the tragedy of Joe Flacco because of them going to the Super Bowl. And the year he won Super Bowl MVP was the year they dethroned the Broncos in the playoffs on the Mile High Miracle with Jacoby Jones over, you know, Raheem Moore. That is still a rough one for Broncos fans. And you see a lot of, I've seen different things on Twitter. I'm sure you have as well. But there are a lot of people that are praising it. I think the move is a good move for right now. But you also have a lot of people that aren't really happy with the move. What are your thoughts on this trade that became official? I mean, I like the idea of Joe Flacco, a veteran, experienced guy, coming in with some of these moves under a new coaching staff, a new culture. I think the opportunity could be endless here.
I think one of the key things for me, it's going to be interesting with him being 34 years old, how well he develops, because he's going to have a lot of pieces around him, in particular, a true dynamic running back core. And now, I mean, he's had, you know, say Ray Rice in a backfield when he was at the top of his game, but Baltimore didn't really have this running back by committee or this dynamic duo in running back. And then also you factor in the ability to go downfield with guys like Cortland Sutton, or now guys like Emmanuel Sanders that can do a variety of different things. And then you get a guy like Deshaun Hamilton that can work the middle of the field. And who knows what the Broncos could potentially add maybe a little bit down the road. But I would say that I think there should be some quiet optimism with this trade for Joe Flacco, just because he is 34, but he clearly has shown, and actually John Elway talked about it was it Vic Fangio in the Broncos TV that said that he still has his arm strength. And you know, that's been one of the key things as you get up in age, as far as deteriorating. Well, if he still has his arm strength, there's that opportunity. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but at 34 years old, where he could end up getting better with the pieces around him.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's the thing, is everybody's taking a look under a microscope with Joe Flacco, and look, everybody is using John Elway's prior quarterbacks as another measuring stick for maybe what Joe Flacco can or can't be. I'd like to see things play out. I'm not going to come into the season thinking that Joe Flacco is going to throw for 36 touchdowns, 4,000 yards, and 10 interceptions. I think that'd be very unrealistic. I like to believe that games are played out based on a team effort. Now, quarterback is a big, big part of that. What goes into quarterback production? Obviously, having protection. Juwan James, big, big signing. The Broncos wanted him last year. They got their guy on a four-year deal. This is going to be good. And I really encourage fans, I can't say it enough, go on NFL Game Pass, get a 7-day trial if you don't want to pay the $49.99. But I tell you, the $49.99 is worth having the subscription to be able to access coaches' film and every single game leading up to 2012. The one thing that does matter here, Juwan James, very, very versatile and quick. I go back to the Chicago Bears game against the Miami Dolphins. I thought Juwan James did a pretty good job against Khalil Mack in that pass rush that the Dolphins were facing from the Chicago Bears. So Juwan James, you're getting some value out of him. I think this could be a more beneficial system for him. And obviously, we have to see what Rich Scangarello's philosophy will look like on the field. I mean, we can all speculate right now on paper, but this is a big move for the Broncos, and this is some security for them over the next couple years compared to what they had Jared Verdier on a one-year deal. More than likely, he won't be back with the Broncos, but the Juwan James signing, huge. The Kareem Jackson signing, I like it a lot as well. He's very versatile, and really the cap hit is very team-friendly, $6 million per year. Same thing with Juwan James. His cap hit the first year in 2019 is very, very team-friendly.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that that's been the more probably – not just maybe the player itself, but seeing how flexible they were able to work the cap. And I tell you, if there is maybe one of the biggest mathematical wizards as far as working the cap space, it's Mike Sullivan. I mean, think back to just a little bit. Now, granted, it's only two moves, but I mean, they had $19 million or so according to Spot Track. And I mean, at least in that 2014 season where they signed Emmanuel Sanders and DeMarcus Ware and TJ Ward and Aqib Talib. I mean, just think about that for a second. And the fact that they were able to massage that out. And then you think to now where they were able to massage this and still have the $21 million per se that they have to work with. That's an incredible achievement. And as far as Juwan James is concerned, I think that it was very important for the Broncos to get a guy that can protect Joe Flacco. I think that they really did want to retain Matt Paradis, or at least try to. But I think that from the standpoint that they still wanted to be able to protect Joe Flacco, I think is absolutely paramount to that team. And it's one of the reasons why I wanted Adrian Amos, and getting a guy like a Kareem Jackson made it more flexible, more versatile. But having this opportunity for say, you know, a Juwan James, where they can put all this amount of money in, protect Joe Flacco, protect their investment, it was just really hard to pass up.
It really was. The Broncos had their sights set on him for a while. The thing with Matt Paradis too, it was more so the one-year offer that they did extend to him was a, you know, look, we want you to prove that you are valuable. And it's nothing against what he has done for the Broncos. It's, look, you're coming off a major injury. There was some concerns there that it could affect you later on down the road or even the next season. And we don't want to fork out all this money when nothing is guaranteed yet. So the Broncos, you know, they played their role there. They were very smart in that. And I think right now the Broncos are off to a better start in free agency right now than I think they were last year. I like this move. I like the moves, the two moves that they've done. I like the Joe Flacco trade. Now, obviously, we have to see how it plays out on paper. But another team that they made some questionable decisions, and it's really kind of sparked my curiosity here, because offensively they're a juggernaut. They have unbelievable talent. They have Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. They have now Carlos Hyde, who signed a one-year $2.8 million deal to be part of their running back core there. They have Patrick Mahomes, reigning MVP. They added some defensive talent with Tyrann Mathieu coming over from the Houston Texans. He's going to be an interesting piece of that defense. They just released Eric Berry, though. They also signed Damian Wilson. But going back to some of their releases and trades, they released Justin Houston, which I figured would be expected. They have Chris Jones on the roster still as a pass rusher, but more so with Justin Houston, it was a lot of money to have him on the team. And he's getting older, and he did battle injury a good portion of last season. But also at the same time, too, they traded D Ford away. They traded him to the 49ers. That to me was very, very surprising after franchise tagging him. And my question is what are they going to do in terms of pass rusher? I mean, they have Chris Jones, but they're really, really kind of struggling in there. So I think the Tyrann Mathieu deal is a good deal for them. But at the same time, you look at the D Ford trade, that one confused me. And also, they did release Eric Berry, which I think is definitely something that's bittersweet for Kansas City Chiefs fan, because he has been a very big part of their community, of their team, for as long as he's been in the NFL. So that's going to be a tough one to see where he lands. Look for him maybe to end up in Cleveland, possibly. But do the Broncos have interest in him? I haven't heard anything. I don't think that's going to be possible. I think it'd be too much money for the Broncos to fork out. So don't expect to see that happen unless he takes a very, very team-friendly deal. I just don't see that happening with a guy like Eric Berry. But so far, I think the questionable team that we've seen in division that has made some of the most, I don't know, head-scratching decisions, I'd have to say it's the Chiefs, based on the fact that they were in the AFC Championship game, and now they've made some of these big moves that I feel like they're making their defense worse overall. They're adding a good position with Tyrann Mathieu, but they're gutting other major positions that really do matter.
Yeah, it's definitely been probably, in all honesty, I would say probably the entire NFL, really, that as far as one of the largest head-scratching moves, because if you want to keep your window, and I realize it's an, let's just say, an offensive window with Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and that particular offense, but they still lost Mitch Morse, and I know that they probably feel strongly about their backup center that's going to take over here, a lot like Connor McGovern with the Denver Broncos. But I think that if you want to stay within your Super Bowl window, wouldn't you want to keep at least a stronghold of some of your key guys, like say a Dee Ford or an Eric Berry, with that amount of leadership and the amount of presence that he has in your locker room? I mean, I understand the Justin Houston move, at least from somewhat of that standpoint, but wouldn't you want, by just strictly to keep a defense together, which gave up a ton of points, wouldn't you want to keep that at least intact and then make it better? It just didn't make sense to me.
No, it really didn't. And it's certainly head scratching. I felt like the Chiefs could have replicated the model that the Jacksonville Jaguars did, except the Jaguars had a really good defense. They still had a good defense in 2018, but they really had a terrible offense during that AFC Championship run. The Chiefs in this instant had a really good offense, not a very good defense, and I still don't think they're going to have a very good defense overall unless they address it with a big splash. But Tyrann Mathieu, I just don't see them making another really big splash. So right now they're kind of in my question mark box there. But let's take a quick gander at the rest of the teams in the AFC West, the Chargers and the Raiders. The Chargers, they signed Thomas Davis, formerly of the Carolina Panthers. The Broncos know him very well. He did play pretty well in that matchup in the Super Bowl where they took on Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis. You know, he played with that. I believe he had arm surgery there. He had all those staples in his arm still. He played in the Super Bowl because it was a one-time opportunity he couldn't miss. They signed a two-year agreement. So he's going to be playing the Broncos twice a year. He's a good inside linebacker. He's a little bit older on the scale, as well as another signing that they made with Brandon Mebane, another older D tackle. So they signed him. They re-signed him to a two-year deal. They brought back Denzel Perryman as well. So they're keeping some in-house guys happy on that roster to a two-year, $12 million deal, keeping Denzel Perryman in Los Angeles. And then I think one of the bigger moves too that I don't think is going to get enough traction is them signing Tyrod Taylor to be the backup quarterback to Phillip Rivers. Tyrod Taylor, I think, is still a very talented player. I think he's got a lot of potential. I think when Phillip Rivers decides to have more kids and hang up the cleats for good, which could be in the next 2 to 3 years, I think Tyrod Taylor could be a good replacement for him, in all honesty. I really do. But really no big moves there that really kind of make you scratch your head and say, wow, okay, they're really changing the game with this one. So now we got to move on, for time's sake, to the Oakland Raiders. This is going to be a big one because they have had a very, very luxurious offseason, to say the least. Antonio Brown, obviously the biggest news, traded by the Steelers to the Raiders in exchange for a third and fifth round pick for the 2019 draft. They had a press conference yesterday. Antonio Brown was a little late, but I tell you what, looking at Antonio Brown, Mike Mayock, John Gruden in the suit for a very, very big press conference, I still believe that John Gruden is a genius in the making. Now, some of the moves he made last year, everyone is thinking, well, he's just trying to sabotage the Raiders. I think he's doing some things that, you know, you may not see it in 2019, but 2021, 2022, the Raiders could be a very, very tough team to contend with. And they also bolstered their offensive line to help keep Derek Carr protected by bringing in Trent Brown from the Patriots to protect him at tackle. They also brought in from the LA Rams LaMarcus Joyner, a four-year, $42 million contract. You have to wonder if Carl Joseph's time in Oakland is up, but LaMarcus Joyner going to provide them with some versatility. The AFC West is getting stronger. And then an in-division move going from the Chargers to the Raiders, Tyrell Williams. He's signing a deal there. It's a four-year, $44 million deal there that keeps him as a wide receiver alongside Antonio Brown. So you have to factor in what Jordy Nelson's role is with the Raiders going into 2019. I'm sure as the next week, the next 2 weeks out, free agency plays out, we'll find out a little bit more. But coming up here in segment number three, our final segment of the show, Cameron and I are going to give you our power ranking so far based on the moves of free agency in the AFC West. Now, here in our final segment of tonight's show, I think, you know, I wanted to do a little bit of a ranking on the offseason that teams have had so far in terms of step in the right direction. And it's a really hard, in my opinion, to kind of put a power ranking together of the AFC West right now. And thinking about what the Chiefs have done this offseason so far, I mean, great acquiring Tyrann Mathieu, that's huge. But losing Mitch Morse, losing Dee Ford, losing Justin Houston, losing Eric Berry, those are some pretty, pretty significant moves. And even they're coming off an AFC championship performance where they were there. They could have won it. They were close. And they had an MVP. Technically his rookie year. I mean, he had his rookie year, but he was a sophomore. But technically, as a player, a rookie, and Patrick Mahomes coming off of an epic season, unheard of. Right now, I just find it really hard. I might move them to second in my power rankings. I think the Oakland Raiders right now, based on the moves that they have made, currently sit atop in terms of, and look, I'm not ranking this by saying I think this team is going to be better than the other. That's one thing I really want to clarify at the beginning. These power rankings are just on the moves that the teams have made so far this offseason, whether it's trade, free agency, so on and so forth. We'll do another one come NFL draft. This doesn't mean that I'm predicting that this order influences where I think they're going to perform, right? Because I think the Kansas City Chiefs are still the deadliest team in the NFL right now, still. I'm just saying, based on the offseason moves, I'd put them second in my AFC West power rankings. I'd put the Raiders first in my AFC West power rankings based on the moves that they've made this offseason. They did add a lot of talent, and they still have three first-round picks. To me, that is scary. That right there puts them at number one in the power rankings right now. And I think the Broncos could have bumped up to third in the power rankings. And I think debatable. I think the Chargers can stay at fourth here. Now, I'm not saying the Chargers are bad. The Chargers moves that they've done two in-house re-signings. That's huge. I think Tyrod Taylor could be a good backup to Phillip Rivers. But ultimately, the one thing I'm looking at, they lost Tyrell Williams. Keenan Allen's still very good. They have to address tight end. I just think that they haven't made enough moves so far in the offseason to warrant being bumped up. I think they're going to be fourth in the power rankings. I'm going to put the Broncos third in the power rankings with the moves that they've made because they've addressed major positions.
Yeah, I think for me, as far as if we're talking like offense or just offseason rankings and that alone, you'd be hard-pressed to find a more disappointing team in the AFC West and the moves that they made in the Kansas City Chiefs. But as far as power rankings, though, it's like you said, the Kansas City Chiefs probably in my mind is still the team to beat in the division. So I would probably put them number one. However, I would put the Oakland Raiders probably right now number two with the addition of Antonio Brown and Tyrell Williams and Trent Brown. But the sheer impactful nature that they've been able to put on their roster, I think it is just very beneficial because now you have a legitimate trio of wide receivers that could potentially complement one another. They can complement Derek Carr. They can complement that entire offense now. I mean, the one of the things, too, that's probably a little bit weary would be that tight end position. But that offense for the Oakland Raiders is much more scarier now once you add that Antonio Brown factor into it. The third, I actually will agree with you on this one. I think that Denver Broncos are three. I think that, to me, I would actually put it, and this is not me being biased whatsoever. I just think that in the grand scheme of things, I mean, we're probably entering what, phase two, phase three, phase four, whatever, pre-agency. But I do believe that as of right now, I think that the Broncos have had a very, very underappreciated offseason with the addition of Joe Flacco, with the addition of Juwan James, them being able to protect him. And then the quiet move of say getting a Kareem Jackson that can provide the versatility in that secondary. So I really do think right now it's probably the more underrated, underappreciated offseason, probably, or at least one of those teams that's in the National Football League as far as the teams goes. And then you got the Chargers, where for me it isn't as far as strictly offseason, or for me it's probably strictly offseason, because I mean they're probably within that mix as far as Oakland and Los Angeles and Kansas City, as far as the top three teams in that division, I would probably say. But me, it's more that they really didn't move the needle on their roster, per se. I mean, they're a really solid team overall. but I just think that them not moving the needle, I don't know. For me, the Broncos moved the needle, Oakland moved the needle, and Kansas City didn't really move the needle, but they're still one of the top teams in the division. But Los Angeles, they just didn't do anything.
I would agree with that. I think obviously the draft will tell us a little bit more. I mean, still some free agency moves can happen here in the next hour after this episode is published. I mean, things can happen, things can change, and we'll obviously cover that as it goes. But really looking forward to our AFC West Summit episode of Locked On Whatever. Locked On AFC West. That's what we're going to bring to you guys here in the next couple of weeks here on the Locked On NFL Network, getting all the hosts from those teams together in one pod to break down the AFC West more so in depth in one jam-packed episode. But once again, that'll do it for today's episode of the show. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast on Friday. We're going to have a lot of action for you, too, because guess what? Joe Flacco, Juwan James, Kareem Jackson, they will be introduced to the media on Friday. And guess what? We're going to have you covered with all the interviews and our reaction to what the players had said in their press conferences on Friday. Stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode of the show.